Hi, this is Debbie Voiles, coach at Mojo for Running, with episode number 62, The Value of Having a Running Coach. If you don't have a running coach, and if you've ever wondered whether you might want to find one, this should help. Keep in mind that all coaches are not alike. There are many right ways to coach. It's not an exact science. The best coaches will guide each runner as befits that runner's ability and goals. One coach may be much better for you than another. Yet, the one that's not so good for you, that's not the right fit for you, may be perfect for another runner. Find the right coach and the right program. If you live in a smaller town that has no coaches, then find one online. Of course, it's not nearly as good, but it is much better than not having a coach. Another suggestion, if you live in a small town with no coaches, is to go to running camp every year. There are various running camps all over the country. That way, you get a week of concentrated coaching. Sometimes you can then work with that same coach online the rest of the year. Here's what you'll get from a coach. Number one, knowledge. Make sure you work with a certified running coach, not just a certified trainer. A certified running coach will educate their clients about why they should do certain things in a certain way and at a certain time. Many long-time runners experience tremendous improvement after working with a certified running coach for just a short time because while they thought they were training correctly, they were making some key mistakes due to gaps in their knowledge. Number two, a running coach will be realistic and unbiased. Let's face it, runners sometimes make unwise decisions. Like doctors, I believe a coach's first obligation is to do no harm. And one of the best ways they exercise this is to refuse to assist runners in pursuing running goals for which they feel they are not ready. If a coach helps a runner prepare for a race that the coach feels is ill-advised, then that comes across as the coach condoning the decision. So coaches tend not to be willing to do that. Three, the coach will push you. A good coach will push you and do so in a carefully planned manner, having you run hard at some times and having you take it easy more of the time. That's the only way running hard and pushing yourself will work effectively without causing injury. The coach knows exactly how to design the workout in intensity for each day. It's not some general plan pulled out of thin air that you can modify and switch up to suit your whim. It's a carefully designed plan that provides shorter speed work, tempo work, drills, long runs, and easy conversational runs that gradually lead you to improved performance. No plan can, no matter how good, prevent injury, but following a coach's plan will make it much less likely. This is all part of being a coachable runner, which I'll discuss in another podcast, but suffice to say, a good coach will be your advisor and supervisor, telling you when to go hard and when to let your body rest. Number four, often runners do races just because their friends are doing them, and I completely understand that. Hanging with your friends is what really makes it fun, and this is fine if you're in condition for the race at the time and if doing that particular race will not interfere with training for your goal race. A coach will help you keep your eye on the ball, or should I say, finish line. Number five, your running coach will keep an eye on you. Your coach may detect a change in your running gait that you would never notice yourself. Yet this can easily lead to injury. Maybe you wake up one morning with a crick in your neck. If you go out and run several miles, you're guaranteed to alter your gait because of it. If it's only a few miles, it might not be a big deal. But if you do 8 or 10 miles, that could easily result in an injury, as you move differently to accommodate the pain, and in doing so, put more than the usual stress on an area not normally stressed. That's oversimplifying it, but you get the idea. In such a case, only the trained eye of a coach who's familiar with your gait will catch it. This is huge. We all know that sometimes runners have a tendency to push through pain. Have you done that? Have you tried to ignore that little voice in your head telling you to stop? The coach, your coach, will be louder than the voice in your head. And since you know the coach is the expert, hopefully you'll listen to the coach's voice, even if you find yourself overruling the voice in your head. Number six, Your running coach will help you choose the most beneficial cross training and guide you as to when and how to incorporate it to complement your running goals. Number 7, a coach will hold you accountable, often having you turn in a journal for each week which details exactly what you did on each day, or by providing a specific schedule. If you went to the trouble to find and hire a coach, and that coach has provided you with a schedule, you're more likely to stick to it. Number 8, nutrition and fueling. Fueling for training and racing is tricky. Having a coach as a sounding board to discuss options and solutions will save you time and aggravation. Number 9, body awareness is almost universally terrible. By this, I mean that how you think you're running, how you think you're moving, may not be even close to accurate. Let me share a story. I've now run in 206 races. You would probably assume I have a huge collection of race photos by now, and I mean the professional race photos. But that is not the case. I want good race photos, and I certainly am happy to pay for them, but I'm never satisfied with them. So, a couple of years back, because I wanted good photos, I decided to make a conscious effort to look good for the photographers. Now, in a marathon, as you probably know, or many of you know, there are like a dozen different photographers. And even in a half marathon, there might be 10 photographers. So there are a lot of opportunities. If I see one, I run on that side of the road to make sure they get a shot of me. That's because I'm just thinking that the more pictures they take, the better chance there is that I'll find one that I like. And I really concentrate on doing everything right. Arms swinging correctly, head up, slight lean from the ankles, midfoot strike. I make sure I have a reasonable look on my face. I try to smile, even if it's near the end of the race. I straighten my shirt, and I've even been known to run my hands through my hair to make sure it's okay as I approach the photographers. Since I've been doing that, how many photos do you think I've brought? None. After running 206 races, I have purchased my official race photo 2 times. The point is that no matter how good I feel like I look, no matter how hard I concentrate on my form, it's never as good as I think it is. It's never as good as it feels, and it's never good enough for me. Of course, as a coach, I'm sure I'm more critical, but still, I don't look like I feel. And as a side note, and I'm sure you've noticed this yourself, the later in the race it is, the greater the difference between the way I think I look and how I actually look. And by that I mean the difference between the way I think I'm running and the way I actually am running. So the great thing is that a coach will be watching you regularly, much of the time, and can identify areas that need work and either prescribe appropriate drills or exercises or just remind you of the fault in your form that you most need to work on. Your coach will see what you can't feel. Number 10, a running coach is your running advisor. He or she will know you, your ability, your experience, your goals, your recent and past racing experience, injuries you may have had in the past, and how injury prone you are. Your coach will know this and will be able, therefore, to provide customized advice that's appropriate for you. If you go on the Facebook wall of any running club and ask for advice, you'll get plenty. But those people, while well-intentioned, many don't know you. For this reason, their advice could miss the mark by a mile, by 10 miles. If an ultra runner offers advice to a beginner runner, that can be a recipe for injury. You can really benefit by having a coach in your corner who knows you, who can advise you. Number 11. Your coach will help you gauge your improvement. He or she will have you do a time trial from time to time to check how well your training is benefiting you. This will also help the coach adjust your training as needed. Number 12, your coach will help you set realistic short and long-term goals. 13, a coach will introduce you to a variety of training activities, which will both improve your conditioning and make training much more interesting. No one wants to do the same speed work every week, and no one will improve as quickly if they do. Number 14, most people who work with a running coach do so in a group setting. The right coach will make the whole experience fun. You'll actually want to go to each workout and regret any time your work life interferes. And I can't emphasize enough how much you'll benefit from the camaraderie and competition of the people in the group. Number 15, the coach will respond to your needs, but it's important for you to provide feedback. If you've ever had a deep tissue massage, then you'll know that they typically ask you if the pressure they're applying is appropriate, and then they'll adjust as needed. They want to know what you want so they can give it to you. Your running coach will want that kind of input as well. If you don't want to work as hard as the coach is pushing you, talk to the coach and express that. You should be able to back off a little from the target pace, heart rate, or perceived effort. It may mean you are less likely to PR as quickly, but you will still improve, and continuing the training is still going to make you a better runner. 16. A coach will help you prepare for races by creating a completely customized training schedule targeting a specific race. However, this kind of complete customization will cost you more. If you can't afford it, your coach will be able to guide you to one of many plans online. Number 17. A running coach will adjust the workouts as needed for the fitness level, age, and even the weight of the runner. Sometimes new runners have told me they're not good enough yet to work with a coach. Many coaches, in fact, most, I think, are happy to work with people just starting out. If you check out a training group and they're all much faster than you, then you may want to find another group. But remember, there are many more average, middle-of-the-pack, and back-of-the-pack runners than elite runners. You're not alone. You can find a coach. You really can, no matter what your level. Number 18, and this is the last one, running coaches will help you keep things in perspective. If you have a less than stellar race, your coach will help you analyze it. If you understand what might have interfered with your performance, you'll be less stressed about it. Now I want to provide some guidance to help you find a running coach. First, let me reiterate that you should make sure the coach is certified, and don't take their word for it either. I started working with a personal trainer a couple of years ago. He said he had his ACSM certification, which is one of several excellent certifications. ACSM stands for American College of Sports Medicine. I trained with him for a month. Then when I was on the verge of recommending him to some other runners, I decided I should verify his certification, just to be sure. I checked the ACSM website, and his name was not in the directory. I called ACSM, and they confirmed that he was not certified. I questioned him, diplomatically, hoping that the issue was that he hadn't reviewed his CPR or first aid certification, and that that had caused him to be pulled off their list. Normally, CPR and first aid have to be current in order to maintain certification. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, and he admitted that he was not ACSM certified. I learned my lesson. Always make sure a running coach is certified by either RRCA, Road Runner Clubs of America, or USATF, United States Track and Field. Sometimes, fairly often, I think, you'll find personal trainers who coach runners, but they aren't certified as running coaches. I've heard serious horror stories about people in various boot camps that incorporate running. When I say horror stories, what I mean is that these trainers have their people running, but they make major mistakes that could and often do cause injury to the runners. An example would be having their clients run hard without a proper warm-up. One trainer told me, thinking that I'd be impressed, that she had her people run around the parking lot carrying a kettlebell in one hand. Ouch! That's a perfect way to cause an injury. Remember earlier when I talked about the problems of changing your gait? Carrying a weight in one hand would definitely require you to change your gait, something that a running coach would always want to avoid. Unless there's a problem with your gait that you're trying to fix. Carrying a weight in one hand would cause you to run distorted. It would be a bad idea. Carrying a weight in each hand, both hands, would be a bad idea. But to carry it in just one side, on one side, would just even be worse. I was amazed when I heard the person say this. Either would cause kinds of biomechanical ramifications that you would not want. That's just one example. So, make sure you're working with someone certified specifically to work with runners. To find a certified coach in your area, go to the RRCA website or the USATF website and check their directory. A good place to get a recommendation is, of course, also your local running store, but do still make sure that person is a certified coach. And, of course, it's always a good idea to get recommendations from other runners. Okay, that's all for today, pretty much. If you're on Facebook, I hope you'll go to the Mojo for Running Facebook page and like it. And I would love it if you have a question, if you would ask it there, and I'll try to include the answer in an upcoming podcast. I might even do a whole podcast about it if you have a good topic. Oh, and I have a shout-out today for Carolyn Mather. Carolyn is an outstanding, amazing Masters, actually Grandmasters runner. If you ever have the opportunity to hear her speak, don't miss it. Her running experience includes just about everything, as she's a stellar athlete with a long running career filled with amazing achievements. And add to that that she travels all over the country helping out with hospitality for elite runners at large races. Needless to say, she can entertain you with fascinating and inspirational stories for some time. Carolyn was a guest speaker at Zap Fitness Running Camp when I was there last summer, sharing her knowledge and lots of great stories. When I met her, she had run 115 marathons and qualified for Boston in 113 of them. Her goal this year is to run a marathon every month. Carolyn writes for Running Journal, an excellent publication for any runner, and I'll link to it in the show notes. She wrote a feature story about me that's on page 18 of the April 2014 issue. I'll link to that in the show notes. Thank you very much, Carolyn. I love the article. Now for today's quote. As I record this podcast, it's only a few hours since Meb Keflezighi won the 2014 Boston Marathon, the first U.S. runner to win since 1983. In honor of Meb's great feat, here's a quote from him. Winning doesn't always mean getting first place. It means getting the best out of yourself. One of my greatest joys is inspiring other people to perform at their best. Again, that's from Meb Keflezighi.